All right. Our text for today is found in, we've got two short verses. One is Matthew 11, verse 15, and the other text is James chapter 1, verse 19. Matthew 11:15 and James 1:19. If you're able to stand, would you please stand and let's honor God as I read these verses in your hearing. And we think about them together. Matthew 11:15 first. Jesus speaking here. After having communicated truths that people need to understand about Elijah, verse 15 he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Right? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then if you could hold your place there and turn to James chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, "Knowing this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Amen. Father, as we bow together, we ask for your help that we may be able to hear what you are saying to us today. Lord, not just audibly, we want to hear and understand. And then, Lord, we want to obey you. So would you meet us now in the Spirit, bind Satan, give real liberty here among your people, that we might be all the better for having assembled here in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I want to remind you that last week we considered grace. We've been talking about grace and the value and the impact of grace in our lives. Last week we looked at grace in speaking, right? We need the grace of God as we speak. And first of all, we talked about speaking in prayer. Prayer is the means of grace for personal communication with God, right? And because of that, we looked at Hebrews 4:16. A prayer can be defined as words of grace from people of grace to the God of grace at the throne of grace, or the place of grace, right? Words of grace coming from a believer, right? Prayer, words of grace. They're spoken from people of grace who've been saved, what? By grace.
Yes,
and we're praying to a God of grace, because if he wasn't a God of grace, there's no way we can meet with him.
Amen.
Or interact with him, right? And then we meet him at the place of grace where he's present.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
That's the reason Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us with confidence then draw near to the what? Throne of grace."
Yeah.
It's right there that we can receive mercy. Find grace to help us in time of need. And then we also looked at not only grace in speaking to God, but grace in speaking to each other, to people. We need grace as we speak to one another. The ability to communicate with other people is really a gift from God to people.
Right.
You think of how awful life would be if you couldn't communicate with each other. Right? I mean, you think of how difficult it is when you're around someone that doesn't speak your language.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Isn't it awkward? You're trying to use gestures to there's certain basic things that you can communicate with your hands, but it's so difficult when you don't have words that have the same meaning, right?
Amen.
So this is a gift.
Amen.
It's a gift from God to us. When he made us in his own image, then when he made us in his own image, then he gave us the ability to reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
A part of being made in God's images, yeah, the ability to reason with each other and communicate with each other. But then Colossians 4:6 says that our words, our speech needs to be gracious, right? Gracious. And as seasoned with salt. In other words, you get the picture. It needs to be appealing. Uh-huh. We need to think about words that will be appealing and effective and persuasive with people.
Yeah.
Because words are important. And if you're not just wasting your words, you want to be effective.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So you need to take your time.
Yeah.
Select words that will be effective. Is that right? So then, a godly conversation could be defined as words of grace spoken from people of grace to other people in grace. And here's what I mean. You and I don't always talk to other Christians. But everybody is a recipient of some form of God's grace. Or we're talking about common grace. And so you couldn't even have a conversation with an unbeliever if God didn't restrain something about that person, right?
Amen.
So you are speaking to someone made in God's image, and so respect them that way.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
If you want to communicate, you cannot disrespect a person that you're talking to. Why would they hear you if you're going to disrespect them? Right?
Amen.
And you think about evangelism that has no respect for people. People know when you don't respect them. All you want me to do is come join your church. You don't care about me. Mm-hmm. See, people know when you don't care about me. And so we want to remember that our words need to be gracious. They're spoken from people of grace who can restrain themselves, right?
Mm.
Well, a part of the fruit of the Spirit is, in addition to love, joy, peace, faith, kindness, faithfulness, what? Self-control. You can control your mouth. Don't go around with that whole perspective, I can't help myself. That is a lie.
Uh-huh.
As a Christian, you can help yourself.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know what I mean by that? I'm not talking about self.
Amen.
The Spirit of God in you enables you to control this.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So, but and the reason for it is that we want to accomplish the purposes of grace. So the definition of words of grace, spoken from people of grace, to other people in grace, to accomplish the purpose is what? All grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we need to all take greater care with the words that we use.
Mm.
Take greater care, whether you're speaking to God or to people. Be very careful, because in Matthew 12, 36 and 37 says, every one of us is going to give an account.
Amen.
For every careless word that you speak in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Choose your words what?
Carefully.
They matter. Mm-hmm. See, not only do we hurt people, but when you have not chosen words that God wants to use, you are offending who?
God.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because you are misrepresenting
Him.
Amen.
Right? We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to what? Speak for Him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And what you're saying to other people is, this is the way God speaks.
Mm-hmm.
God told Moses, you will be my mouth.
Amen. Amen.
Moses is not here anymore. You and I are ambassadors for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Remember that when you're out on the playground, children, or when you're when you're not in a quote religious environment, you need to remember your mouth still represents Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Don't get loose-lipped around other folks and think that there may not be other Christians around listening, but what? God is.
Yeah.
God is.
Amen.
And He says you're going to give an account.
Yeah.
We good?
Amen.
So we talked about that last week. Grace and speaking. Today, we're going to talk about grace and hearing. Because hearing is important likewise. And I divide my thinking up this way. Again, we looked at grace in speaking to God and grace in speaking to people. Today, we're going to look at grace in hearing from God, and grace is hearing from people. All right? Straightforward. So let's begin by taking a look at that one verse in Matthew. So could you turn back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, that one verse that we looked at there, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Grace gives the ability to hear spiritually, all right? Physical or natural hearing alone does not provide the kinds of essentials to understand things spiritually, okay? Physical or natural hearing is never intended for you to understand spiritual things, okay? Many people can hear spiritual truths being spoken, but they have no idea.
Amen.
What they mean, right? You remember Jesus speaking to Nicodemus?
Yeah.
Talking to him about being born again. Nicodemus says, whoa! How can I get back in my mother's womb? Well, see, he didn't understand.
Amen.
He was given truth, but he didn't understand.
Yeah.
Right? God used Isaiah, that's the early part of Isaiah. In Isaiah 6, he says, I want you to go. Israel's been stubborn. They have ignored my counsel. They've ignored when I've been speaking to them. I want you to go to them and say, keep on hearing, but do not understand.
Yes, sir.
You're going to keep on hearing me speak, but you want to. See, here's the thing. I'm not going to stay here long. But if you don't listen to God, after a while, he'll let you stay stuck there.
Amen.
It's serious for God to be speaking to you and you ignoring it.
Amen.
Wow. Because that's the problem in the book of Revelation. He says, let those who lie keep on lying. It's too late, man. Those who murder, keep on murdering. Adulterers, keep on living. Because you had time of grace to repent. And you did. Right? So that the Jezebel, as he talked to the church, she had time to repent and she would not. Don't play with God. When he's speaking to you, listen to him before you get stuck. So, physical hearing is not enough. Spiritual understanding must come from who? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's the only one that can give you spiritual understanding. Right? 1 Corinthians 2. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. They're folly to him. And he is not able to understand them. For they are what? Spiritually discerned. It's got to come from the Spirit. So don't get frustrated with people when you're trying to lay out all these truths and they don't get it. If they're not a believer, they can't get it. Matter of fact, here's what I say to anybody. Don't go to your unsaved friends and start talking to them about how to live a holy life. They don't need to learn. They don't need to go to the book of Proverbs and learn about all these. They need to be saved. They need the gospel. They don't need to, learn how to stop lying. They can go to hell just because you stop smoking and lying. You know, if you don't know Jesus, you stop the Pharisees wound up in hell.
Amen.
They were good moral people.
Yeah.
Okay? So don't get frustrated with people when they don't understand. Remember, they need the gospel.
Amen.
They need you to be patient.
Yes, Lord.
Right? They need your words to be gracious. Think about, I was 28 years old before I was saved. Somebody had to be patient.
Amen.
And it wasn't that I hadn't heard. I was raised in the church. Right? Went through all the motions. I got baptized in all that, but I wasn't saved. So along the way, somebody had to be patient.
Amen.
So I have to be patient with others. Right?
Amen.
He who has ears to hear, then, means that God has given the ability to understand spiritual truth. You see what he's saying? He who has ears to hear. If you got ears, not audibly, he's not talking about that. You got ears to hear audibly. But if you have ears to hear what I'm saying to you, you understand what I'm saying to you, then you need to take note.
Amen.
God has given you ability to understand. Don't walk away from that.
Amen.
Don't walk away from that.
Amen.
So grace gives the ability to hear spiritually. But then grace also gives the ability to obey what is heard. To obey what is heard. People will often listen to what God says, but they don't willingly obey. Okay? You know, James called that what? Hearers of the word. James 1, right? He says, be doers and not hearers only. Because if you go to church and you listen and you nod and you agree and you say amen, but you don't do it, he said, you deceive yourself. You think you're all right, but you are not. Just because you know your Bible and verses and you know how to find this and that and you can engage people in conversations about the Bible does not mean you're all right. Got it? You're deceiving yourself if you don't do what the Bible says to do.
Amen.
Right? Can you find that Hebrews 3? Hold your place there. Turn to Hebrews 3 and verse 5. I don't know if you've seen this verse or not. Many of you probably have. Hebrews 3, 15. You probably heard it quoted many times, but I want you to think about this. It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Right? Many of you have heard that verse before. Obviously, that's quoted from the Old Testament. Now, the point is, if you hear God speaking to you, don't be stubborn. Why would you be stubborn if you can not just hear him audibly, but if you can hear your heart senses God is saying something to me? Now, it doesn't matter whether he's talking to everybody else or not. I know right here, right now, God is speaking to me. Well, then don't harden your heart.
Uh-huh.
You don't know if he'll be speaking to you again. That's an assumption, right? The Bible calls that presumptuous sin, assuming that I'll get to it next time. I'll wait till next week when we get together. That's presumptuous sin. Today, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart.
Amen.
Right? Don't do it. And so, people, even though that's true, people will listen to God and still not obey. The meaning of biblical hearing, though, often includes obedience. You remember as we talked about with the children? Sometimes when parents say, do you hear me? They are meaning, do you understand? I want you to obey me. What I just told you wasn't just information. What I just talked to you about was for you to obey. So hearing in the Bible often includes obedience. And so when Jesus says, think about that verse again. He who has ears to hear, then he gives another imperative, right? Let him hear.
Amen.
Now, you've already been given the ability to understand.
Amen.
So what else could he mean? Let him hear. Obey.
Uh-huh.
God says, I've given you the ability to understand what I'm saying to you. Grace also gives you the ability to do it. God does not require of you what you cannot do.
Amen.
Think of that. Nothing that the Bible requires of a Christian is impossible.
Amen.
For us naturally.
Amen.
And the son of it, I'm not saying it's not challenging.
Amen.
But when God calls upon you to do something, don't push back.
Amen.
You're assuming that you'll get an opportunity again. Amen, Christian?
Amen.
All of us have to face that. It's a challenge for me just like it is for you. You got ears to hear. You can understand what God is saying to you. Do it. Don't assume that you're going to get another chance. Don't assume you're going to be all right if you don't. Bible actually warns you about that, right?
Yes.
Matter of fact, we're going to share in communion the Lord's Supper today. When you read 1 Corinthians 11, there were people at church in Corinth who wouldn't obey God. God says, some of you are weak. Some of you are what? And others are what? Dead. Because if you're a Christian and you're not going to obey God, then he will take your life. This is serious business.
Amen.
He's a good father.
Yes.
Why would you actually think of this? Why would you actually say no to God?
with the clay,
yes,
saying no to the potter.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He made me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even exist if he had made me. Yeah. And there I am bristling up and saying no.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
It happens. Yeah, no, I mean, we're not being disingenuous here. All of us find we got the areas that we're struggling in. God has to break us.
Amen.
Thank God the potter still breaks us.
Yeah.
Without destroying us.
Mm.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
The potter is good. The Father is good. Now this is, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes now about something extremely serious in this area. Temporary obedience is unacceptable to God.
Amen.
Not only that, partial obedience is unacceptable to God. I want to show you why I'm saying that. Can you find Matthew 13? Many of you are familiar with this parable. The parable of the sower and the seed.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who are not, this is a story about an agrarian society that planted and nurtured and grew their own food, right? And so a sower is a person that plants seed. Okay? So when I read the parable and you read the sower was sowing seed, that's literally what it means. He was out planting seed. And if you see pictures of folks in the East, you've seen they drape these bags across their shoulders, big bags full of seed. And they reach their hands down into the bag, a handful of seed, and scatter it. Okay, so that's planting is different than the perspective that you and I have on planting. And when you throw it out there to be planted, you don't know where it's going to land, right? You throw it and it scatters. So that's what we're going to read. So you got Matthew 13. Let's start at verse 3. Matthew 13, 3. And he told them many things in parables, saying, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had not no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on ground on good soil, and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Here's our phrase again. He who has ears, what? Let him hear. In other words, Jesus said, I just communicated spiritual truth to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you can understand it, what? Obey it.
Amen.
Pay attention. Do what? Pay attention to what I'm saying to you. Now, as you think about that, much like the people listening on that were unsaved, Jesus said, "I speak to them in parables."
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand.
Amen.
But the disciples said, "Lord, we don't understand either."
Uh-huh.
Man, that's good. Mm-hmm. You can come to God when you don't understand, and He says, "I'll teach you."
Amen.
Don't push back from it just because it's hard.
Mm. Mm.
Okay. Sometimes when you want to know something from God, you can't expect it just easy. You know, American Christians expect everything to be easy.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can go Google it. I can go find it here. No. You can't deal with God. You can't Google God.
Mm-hmm.
you got to deal with God on God, sir.
Yeah.
You can't rush it. Because he wants you to learn, not just know.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Not just be intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to learn it.
Mm.
So you can go and teach others.
Amen.
And if it's that important, you'll invest the time.
Mm.
So they said, Lord, what does that mean? Thank God that he's patient, right?
Amen. Amen.
And so then you go over to verse 18, and you see Jesus explaining what this parable means. He says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it. See, there's that word right there, right? They heard it, they didn't understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. You see, the point is that when that planter throws that seed, it just goes all over the place. And as it's laying out there on top of the ground, birds see it, and you see it in your own yard, right? You plant grass seed or something, you see them, they come along and they eat it. So you see the picture. Verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Now you need to follow this. The first, he's saying that there's some people sit in church, who sit in Bible studies, who sit in prayer meetings. They hear what's going on, but they don't understand it. And they not, they you look at, you don't know that they don't understand it because they're pretending that they do. Mm-hmm. And they walk away as soon as they leave the place, Satan is on. Mm-hmm. And they got nothing. There's no root in them, so they can't stand up to it. You see the picture? Mm-hmm. I mean, as a Christian, you know it's challenging enough when you are saved, when you're rooted, it's challenging enough. Somebody that's not, you don't have, there's no possibility.
Right.
And so then he says, though, you have other people who hear the word of God and they just thrill. He said they receive it with joy, mm-hmm. but it hasn't taken any root in them. Mm-hmm. They're just excited about it. You see, you get around people like that, right? They're just excited about mm-hmm. the Lord and about things going on. But when trouble comes, they fall away because it was the excitement they had, not mm-hmm. the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You see? That's what's going on with a lot of these movements.
Mm-hmm.
People are excited about the possibility of getting this and getting that,
uh-huh.
being on top, and I'm not the tail, and I'm the this and I'm the that. But until you become something happens to you,
mm.
then they're disillusioned.
Amen.
Because they weren't there for the Lord; they were there for the excitement.
Amen.
Okay.
Mm.
So that's temporary. You getting this? And then he goes on, verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns. This is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Okay? Now you've got other people that come, and they seem to be going along good, you know? But then temptation comes on the job, and the boss says, if you don't compromise and do this thing, you can't work here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had these pressures when I was working. We go on trips. And I come back and report on my boss for what I spent. Well, others lied, you know, and they manipulated and improvised. And they wanted me to change. I'm not going to lie about what happened. And so they get in trouble because I didn't compromise. But I'm going to tell the truth, okay? But pressures come like that.
Amen.
Or you may get it from your boss that says, if you don't do this, you can't work here. You know, we get harassment in all kinds of ways. Women get harassment, men get harassment, okay? To compromise. And so the deceitfulness of riches, if you want to move up in this company, you got to do this thing, right? The deceitfulness of riches choke that way. You know that's wrong.
Uh-huh.
But it hadn't been rooted in yet. So you'd rather have a promotion than do what's right.
Mm. Mm.
You see that? That's temporary and partial.
Amen.
That's unacceptable to God. And so you can't think you're all right just because you're going along for a while. Okay?
Hmm.
I like most of what we do at our church because it's convenient for you.
Mm-hmm.
It hadn't caused you any trouble yet.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And so then he finally says, you see verse 23? As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. And indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and another 30. So you see the point. The point is this. Only willing obedience from the heart is acceptable to God.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of these situations, the only one that God approves of is the one that was in good soil. All the rest of them proved to be false. The seed, in some cases, the seed never even came up. The birds got it. But in some cases, it popped up, it grew, it looked like it was all right, but it didn't have any root. The only time you're going to please God is that you yield yourself to what He says.
Amen.
Without fighting. Okay? Surrender. Mm-hmm. He wants surrender from you. You can't pick your favorite parts of the Bible and say, I like this and I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Surrender.
Amen.
Surrender. Right? So this is the way I'd leave this point with you. The grace of God will give you the ability to hear and obey God from the heart. So my question to you is, how do you respond to what you hear from God? How do you respond to what you hear in your prayer time? How do you respond to what you hear from God in your Bible reading? How do you respond to what you hear from God in your Bible study and in sermons, in counsel? How do you respond? Do you reject it immediately? Do you accept it temporarily and emotionally? Do you accept the parts that are convenient for you? Or are you willing to submit yourself to the will of God regardless of the personal sacrifice? So I'm saying to you, grace, the grace of God will give you the ability to hear and obey God regardless. Because it's from your heart. You don't put conditions.
Amen.
Right? That's grace in hearing from God. But then, there's also a grace that's necessary to hear from people. Can you find James 1, verse 19? Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Grace gives the ability to hear from people. Now, physical or natural hearing alone is insufficient to understand people and communication. Remember what we talked about with the children? We're not just talking about hearing words on your eardrum. Okay? That's not hearing. That's not the hearing that's spoken of in the Bible if you're going to understand a person. If you're going to communicate with a person, you need to go further than just words. Okay? The Bible warns against hasty and unwise speech. Proverbs 18:13. You're familiar with this? If anyone gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame. And think of that. You say, well, I don't think I'd do that. Well, it can happen a lot of ways. Sometimes you literally can say, well, I know where you're coming from, so you got an answer for them. They didn't even say a thing. Because you think you know exactly what they got to say. Okay? Other times, you can listen a while. And you say, oh, I see where you're going with this. And you got an answer. You still haven't listened to the whole. But I want to show you one that's tricky. Sometimes you can sit and listen to a person completely. You have listened to everything they've said, but you still where you were at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You had your mind made up from the beginning. You just didn't say it. Mm-hmm. You see, you're still hasty. You haven't listened to understand. You just let them get the words out. The words had no impact on you because you weren't trying to understand the words. You see, that's hasty, and that's unwise. Have you seen this verse over in John 7 verse 24? It's a very important verse. I remember I saw this back when I was a younger Christian, and this is significant. Significant. Because I remember when I was a young Christian, you remember the old adage, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. You remember people used to use that? And that was their way of protecting themselves. You know, you can't right. really talk to me about anything unless you're perfect, unless you got it all together. Well, that's not what the Bible says. No. The Bible does not say that to Christians. But the Bible does warn against hasty judgments, right? You see, you got John 7:24? Do not judge by appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. In other words, don't look at a person's situation. You remember how Job's friends did? Mm-hmm. Job's friends came to him, they saw what was going on. They said, Job, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. You must be doing something wrong. You must be cheating somebody. You know, these kind of things wouldn't be happening to you if there wasn't some major sin in your life. See, that's judging by appearance. Uh-huh. You didn't even talk to Job. You didn't even found out what's going on. You just That's, you see, that's hasty. That's judging by appearance. Then you notice verse 51 in John 7. Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? See, that's righteous judgment. Hear people out. See what the facts are. Because hasty and unwise speech leads to outbursts of anger. It leads to hurtful words. And we all have to guard against this in our family situations, on the jobs, in interactions, in sports. You see it a lot in sports. Because it's a tendency to think that in sports you can express yourself without any restraint, but not as a Christian.
Amen.
Not as a Christian. Don't let your feelings cause you to have this hasty, unwise speech. Grace, here's what I'm saying to you. Grace enables a believer to demonstrate love and respect for people while listening to understand them. Now, can you turn with me? Turn with me to Proverbs 18:2. Now, we just read one verse in Proverbs 18. You remember, it was, if one gives an answer before he hears, it's his folly and shame. But look at verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Isn't that enlightening? God calls that person a fool. All that you want to happen in this conversation is for somebody to know what you think. Right? That's a fool. If you think that your opinion is the only one that matters. Romans 4. Now, I hope you understand that I'm just saying what the Bible says. And the Bible says to you and me, we can do better. We can be more gracious in the way we listen to people. Romans 14 and verse 1. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinion. Okay? You've got to learn to listen to people, respect them, love them, right? Not to just dump your opinions on them. One that affects all of us is Philippians 2. And if it's been humble, I don't know what we're at. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves.
Amen.
Who can raise their hand and say, that's me?
Amen.
If that doesn't humble you, you're being disingenuous. Right? Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. But then he's not done. Look at verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Amen. Then he says, have the mind and attitude of Christ.
Yeah.
The mind and attitude that was in Christ, let it be what?
In you.
That's it. And then if that doesn't convince you, you know, as Paul is finishing up the description of love, he's talking to you about love and patient and kind and not rude and all these things. But he finishes up by saying, love believes us.
Amen.
Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, what does that mean, bro? What, that means that you give people the benefit of the doubt. See, love says, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to listen to you. Right? I love you. Isn't that good? We have to learn this grace. So that we can learn to, you see, we talked about speaking last week. There has to be grace in speaking, but I'm saying to you there also needs to be grace in hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I have to learn to listen, not just to words, but to listen in order to understand. That takes time. Grace also gives the ability to obey wise counsel. By the grace of God, the Holy Spirit enables the believer to determine when wise counsel is given. Okay? And a believer needs to realize that. Everything people say to you is not wise. I mean, there's very few people that don't have something to say on the subject. But just because they have something to say doesn't mean it's good or wise. Proverbs 12:5. The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. And you need to determine whether you're really getting wise counsel or not, because you don't want to be deceived. Proverbs 20:18. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. And then finally, grace also enables a believer to obey wise counsel even when it calls for radical change in your life. Radical change. So I shouldn't assume that something isn't wise just because it affects me. Just because I've got to do something radically different than I've always done. Right? At the beginning of Proverbs, that father writing to his son, "My son, you know, give attention to your father's instructions, you know. Don't forsake your mother's teachings," right? And so, you and I have to understand these graces. As a matter of fact, that one verse there, Matthew 18:15. I want you to think of it in this regard. You remember Matthew 18? People normally think of this context when it comes to church discipline. But what's the first step in discipline? You go to your brother. If your brother or sister offends you, you do what? Go to them one-on-one, privately, speak to them about that sin or that error, and what? If they what? Listen to you, you've restored, you've gained your brother, your sister. That's what I mean by listening. If I'm not going to listen to you, come to me. Just because I think I'm right, then I'm in a very dangerous place. Every one of us needs to be teachable. Amen.
Amen.
Every one of us needs to be approachable. And you see, just as I have to be a good, I have to be a gracious speaker and learn to hear when I'm hearing wise counsel versus unwise counsel. When I'm hearing wise counsel, I need to humble myself and submit to it.
Amen.
See the difference?
Mm-hmm.
If they listen to you, you what? You won. You've been restored. It doesn't have to go any further. What's God's point? God doesn't want you to be embarrassed.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. He says, no.
Yeah.
Now, try to handle this as privately as possible.
Yeah.
Is that good? That's grace. That's grace. Wise counsel, my brother, my sister. We've got the grace will help us to deal with each other graciously.
Yeah,
amen.
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 Amen. Graciously. That's what God is calling for.
Amen.
Wise silence is an extremely effective and powerful means of contemplation. I know you wonder, what in the world is he talking about? I had to think about this myself. I mean, if you're married, you know what I'm talking about. There's times that in any marriage, you're going to have issues where there's going to have to be confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
Both ways, right? Or a parent to child, you understand the situation. I mean, you can, any relationship, there's going to be some confrontation. And so, the question I had to ask myself is, how do I handle that?
Hmm.
You know, am I prone? You remember what we talked about? James says, be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak, what? Slow to anger. But if you're getting on something sensitive with me, I may not handle it as graciously as I should. And that's where I have to deal with this, and you do too. What do I mean by this? all of us need to think about the power of silence. He says, be quick to hear, but slow to speak. How long do you think about something when somebody's told you something? Does it depend on who it is? And this is where we have to be careful. Just because you got real familiar relationship, like a husband and wife, it doesn't mean that you can disregard this principle. If God wants to say something to me to my wife, through my wife, and it's uncomfortable, I need to be silent and listen. Not just win the argument. Just because I can win the argument doesn't mean that it's right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Just because I have more information doesn't mean that I'm right. You ever notice how powerful it is when you're talking to somebody and they don't say anything? You don't know what's going on. That troubles you, doesn't it? It shouldn't. Let it alone. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Say something. You don't think it.
And I'm saying that in jest, but we really need to think about this. Give people time to digest what just was said. And then, I'm going to tell you something else. Why don't you make that a premise? Why don't you say to people, you don't really have to respond to me right now. We got to learn how to deal with each other on this basis. Learn how to listen. This is too important to just, snap back and forth. In a marital relationship, you understand. You can get in that tit for tat trading bars, and then when it's done, what? Nothing has been accomplished. No words of grace. Nobody was edified, right? The Bible says you speak only words that are necessary for the good for what? Edification. That didn't happen. Because I didn't take time to listen. And somebody's got to do that. Now, all of us right now, I had to listen to this as I prepared, and you're listening to it right now. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be like the seed that, you got it and it sounded good for a while, but you're out of here and you're right back. Just like you were. Don't presume that you'll get another opportunity. Well, I'll leave it at that. I had more things to say, but I think I'll leave it at that. So, then, as we conclude, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, how well do you hear and obey God? Do you willingly hear from and obey God from the heart without reservation? Do you hear from and obey Him without procrastination? Do you hear from and obey God without making excuses? Do you accept the fact that no one has better counsel for you than God? His Word, His Spirit, there's no better counsel from you than God, for you than God. If you're struggling with hearing from God, if you're struggling with obeying God, then I assure you that you will struggle with hearing from people. If you struggle with hearing from God and doing what He says, I assure you, you're going to struggle with hearing from people and doing what, even with wise counsel from people. Not only that, you will not be effective in listening to people if you're ineffective in listening to God. Neither will you be willing to take godly counsel from people if you're not willing to take counsel from God. We must all We must all humble ourselves and become better listeners. We must all humble ourselves and become better hearers. We must all humble ourselves and start listening to understand. We must all humble ourselves and start listening to contemplate, listening to be quiet, listening to consider what's being said to me. Listening to take things under consideration. We must all humble ourselves and start listening to hear the will of God. And we must all humble ourselves and start listening to do the will of God. And I'm saying to you, the grace of God will enable you to do that. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, you must also become a good listener. You can't become a Christian if you're not a good listener. The grace of God will enable you to hear Jesus calling you today. You will hear Him calling you to be saved. The grace of God will enable you to hear that He's calling you to be free from the penalty of sin. He's calling you to be free from the power of sin. He's calling you to give you a new heart. He's calling you to give you a new mind. He's calling to give you a new life. Calling to give you a new home, a new perspective. Yeah. He's calling you to make all things new. Yeah. Because once you're in Christ, you are a new creation.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Old things have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
All things have become new. But it won't happen unless you believe.
Amen.
You got to believe, my friend. You got to believe. You got to be a good listener, and you've got to believe and obey what you hear.
Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for the grace of God that enables us to hear from you when you speak. Thank you for the grace of God that enables us to hear from other people when they speak to us from you. Thank you for the grace that enables you to forgive us when we haven't done so well in hearing from you. And when we haven't done so well in hearing from people. But Lord, here we are today, humbling ourselves before you and saying to you, Lord, we want to be better listeners. We want to grow in this area of grace, the grace of Christ. Help us, Lord, today to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ and to grow as hearers and listeners to you and to teach and to each other. We bless and we praise you. And then, Lord, I would ask you to help someone that doesn't know Christ today to hear from Jesus. Bring them to yourself.
Yes, Father.
Yes.
In salvation for your own glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.